Turning now in the scriptures to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we have been going through this book. We've been hearing from the last chapter, the beginning talk about spiritual gifts, the various ministries, the various services that God's people are blessed with, each individually, and yet one in the same spirit. 1 Corinthians now 13, and we'll read the entire chapter. These are the words of the living and true God. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. And that is the word of the Lord to us. Chapter 12 ended, verse 31, saying, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. We are to desire the greater gifts, he says. And yet our pursuit in the church as we strive to serve the Lord is to bring glory to Him by love. A more excellent way that Paul talks about at the end of chapter 12, verse 31, he's talking about love. And that's why he goes into that now in chapter 13. Serving the Lord is not a tearing of one another down. It is not a hating of one another. Where you say, as we heard in the last chapter, oh, you don't have this particular gift? Well, you're not even part of the church. Or you're a weak Christian. Or even doubting salvation. Or you're being part of the church because you don't have a particular gift. Now that's not what Paul showed, was it? He showed that if you believe the gospel, you still are a part of the church, whether you have a particular gift or not. The Spirit gives differing gifts to each one in the church. And the way we use such gifts, chapter 13, is love for Christ in the body, that by it some may be saved. You see, if you have a spiritual gift, maybe a better way to put it, if God is using you in His church in a particular way, and yet you do not have love, a love for God, a love for your brother, sister in Christ, then it is all in vain. Speaking in tongues, no love? Well, then he says you're like a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. You're useless. You're just making a lot of noise. If you have gifts of prophecy, knowledge, faith, but not love, he says you are nothing. Beloved, you can do all you want to serve Christ, but if you don't have love, it profits nothing. Love is important, needless to say, and necessary if you are a Christian. So what is love? He describes it in verses 4 and following, and the fruit of love is described. It's patient, kind, not envious, not boastful. It's not about yourself. It's about truly serving. It is forgiving and rejoicing in righteousness. It mourns over sin. How does it compare to the best spiritual gift, which we'll see in chapter 14, prophecy and other graces from the Lord? Verses 8 and following, the gifts of prophecy, tongues, knowledge, they will cease, it says. They will vanish away. Verse 13 is contrasted with verse 8. Faith, hope, and love will remain. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge, they will cease, they will vanish away, but faith, hope, and love, they will always be. They will remain. The extraordinary gift of prophecy will be reduced to inactivity. Tongues will cease. They will be stopped. Knowledge will cease. Knowledge is saying here, not speaking of spiritual or divine knowledge, or even that which we receive from Scripture. Surely there will be such an eternity. Knowledge of God, of Christ, and spiritual things. Those surely will not pass away. It's not talking about that. But they will; those things will gloriously increase, will they not? But knowledge here is meant of a particular spiritual gift, just like we're talking about, we've been talking about since chapter 12. That is, this knowledge, just like prophecy or tongues, was a revelatory gift. It was a revelation. God revealing Himself in a particular way. And so it involved revealing directly to the possessor of this gift the mind and the will of God, without having the written word or the spoken word in front of them. And that's why it's connected to prophecy and tongues here. For they are similar in that way. They are revelatory gifts. They reveal God's will, God's knowledge. These gifts, though, will not always be. They're given for a time. And today they are not now given. For the revelation of God has ceased. They're closed. The canon's closed. We attain no new scripture today. The book of Revelation is the last book of God's word. And God's revealing himself to us in this time. On earth. Verse 9, we presently know what is partial. What is partial. But when the coming of that which is perfect, it says, contrasted with this time of which we have that is partial. And that which is partial will be done away with, he says. What is partial? What do we have in part? But verses 8 through 9, it says what is partial. Knowledge and prophecy, and by implication, tongues. Those revelatory gifts. When we have the complete revelation, when the complete inscripturated revelation, the finished Word of God, the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, when it comes in its full revelation, when it's completed, then the partial will be done away. Those gifts will no longer be given. Paul illustrates this with a child. When things were partial, they spoke, understood, thought like a child. But when the Scripture is completed now as a man, those things, the childish things, must be done away with. Put off. They're no longer needed. They're like training wheels on a bike for the church. The partial has been done away with. The perfect revelation has been completed. Those extraordinary gifts were given in a time of the church's childishness, in a time of the book, this book was written. Because the whole of the Scriptures had not yet been completed. And so that's why Paul's thinking of the future when this will happen, and it already has come for us. The Corinthians with Paul had an uncompleted Bible. They saw as in a mirror dimly, but one day they were looking forward when they would know fully, and it would be like seeing one face to face. They will have the completed Scriptures, and today we have the completed Scriptures. Verse 13, "But now faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now, even though those extraordinary gifts, prophecy, which is the direct revelation of God, tongues, which is languages known without learning them, and knowledge, which is intelligence never acquired by study or meditation, these would not continue. They have ceased. They are not to continue to abide in the church through this age, but at the closing of the canon of Scripture, which has come about, faith becomes sight. Hope becomes fulfillment. Love continues throughout all eternity. And that is what we're looking forward to today. The greatest of these is love. Have love, beloved, is Paul's command here. If you have not love, he says you are nothing. And what you do in the church is all in vain. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come and has revealed himself to us, who has spoken to us through the Word, through the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. You have given us fully this revelation of your Word, the Bible. And there are still struggling around the world today, people who do not grasp this. We thank you by your grace you have shown us and revealed these things to us. We do not boast in this knowledge or boast in this wisdom. We boast in you for your mercy to us and your grace. We thank you that you have given us more scriptures than the Apostle Paul. And yet, Father, that ought to convict us of our sin. For why are we not more holy and righteous as he? Father, forgive us of our sins. Cause us, above all, as we love to serve you, to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, that our lives would be filled with love. That first fruit of the Spirit, that first evidence that shows that we are your people. Lord, give us love. Love not only towards you, but that love towards you would work itself out as love towards one another. For those are the two greatest commandments that you teach us. To love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. Father, turn us from sin, the sin of not loving, the sin of being jealous and envious, the sin of boasting in ourselves, the sin of when wrong is done to us that we, rather than suffering it, as Christ suffered, we want to retaliate and seek vengeance. Father, we ask that you would put in us, cause us to put to death sin and put on, clothe us with the righteousness of Christ Jesus alone. Give us holiness, the holiness of Jesus Christ. Father, we come this day seeking your full help. We cannot worship you. We cannot live lives pleasing to you without your Spirit in us. Cause us not to quench the Spirit. But to follow his leanings, his guidings, as he is our guide and counselor. Father, we do love you. We are thankful that you're a God who forgives us of our sin. Because if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, who died for us, your people, who gave up his body, who shed his blood on that cursed tree at Calvary. And so, Father, give us great joy now as we have the completed scriptures, as we have been given your Son, you have given us him, and him to us. Cause us to abide in him. And Lord, we ask that you would abide in us. Father, hear our prayers because we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.